I'm Shelley Irwin. Thanks for listening to the WGBU Morning Show. Every month, we also talk to those on behalf of Grand Valley's class, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. I get the professors in the house to talk about what they have in store for us in the future and maybe what they've been up to as well. One such has been busy, Associate Professor of History, Jason Crothamel, with us. Jason, good morning to you. Professor.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm glad you're here. Your fields of interest, modern Europe, Germany, memory, gender, sexuality. All meant to be, right?
Yeah, right. My first book was on the history of shell shock in the First World War, and my second book was on the history of masculinity in World War I.
Cool for you. You just returned from Germany. This is the reason we need to speak. What's been happening in your life?
Right. Well, I'm a very busy person right now because it's the centenary of the First World War, and there are a number of different events going on in London and Paris and Berlin and Vienna. And this summer, I was invited by the director of the library in Stuttgart, of the Baden-Württemberg Library, to give a talk on the memory of the First World War, which was an interesting experience for an American scholar to give a talk to a German audience, mostly public, about the history of the First World War. But it was a tremendous experience because the questions I got show just how much that war 100 years ago is still relevant today.
Wow, 100 years, and it just seems like much of our world has been talked about World War II. I know there's an anniversary with this as well, but your specialty with the World War I even.
Yeah, that's right. Most of my students tell me that they're mostly interested in the Second World War when they tell me why they take my classes on modern European history and the history of the 20th century. But my specialty is the First World War because so much of the catastrophes of the 20th century are linked back to World War I. In fact, one of the questions I got in the audience this summer shows just how relevant it is because a person in the audience made a link between the First World War and the rise of ISIS today, that we're hearing on the news about the rape and sexual violence used as a weapon of war by ISIS. And this was something done in the First World War. And many people in the audience also asked about, you know, the war caused psychological wounds, not just for soldiers, but for civilians. And we call it post-traumatic stress disorder now. In World War I, it was called shell shock. And the difficulties in treating those wounds at that time were very similar to the difficulties that people have today.
Was your presentation in English or German?
Oh, I gave the presentation in German, which kept me up all night worrying about it. But I gave the presentation in German. My book is in English, but they asked me to give it in German because it was a broad audience.
As you mentioned, a general public. It was advertised in local newspapers.
That's right. The Stuttgart newspaper advertised it, and it was a good thing because it meant the general public could come, and that was really beneficial because one woman stood up and she said that her grandfather was traumatized in the First World War. That was the topic of the lecture was psychological trauma, and I realized just how much, you know, on one hand I'm an academic, a scholar, but how much my work also affects people's everyday lives. And so she talked about her grandfather and his letters and his difficulty talking about his experiences. And in the question and answers and the talk itself, I made links between the First World War and the Vietnam War, where a lot of people, of my generation, my parents and their generation, have similar experiences with a terrifying war that people have difficulty coming to terms with.
So you gave a couple talks, right?
Yep, that's right. Last November in Berlin, I gave a talk for the Gay History Museum in Berlin. They were doing this shows you just how widespread the centenary is affecting. The Gay History Museum in Berlin did an exhibit on gay veterans in the First World War. And my second book, I have a chapter about gay veterans in World War I. Many of them saw the war as an opportunity to prove just how equal and respected they should be in society. In German society in the early 20th century, homosexuality was criminalized. And so when gay men served in the war, similar to other minorities throughout the world, for black Americans in World War II, for example, service in war was seen as a way to prove their equality and their abilities and their deserving of integration in society. So the museum in Berlin, the Gay History Museum, had a conference about different aspects of the experience of gays in the military.
That was also given in German?
Yes, that one was in German too. So that was quite an experience.
Yes. We're experiencing the life of Jason Crothamel.
Yep.
Thanks to you, Associate Professor of History with Grand Valley, our class segment. Previous April as a keynote at a conference at DePaul University?
That's right. I was invited to give a keynote address at DePaul University. That was a different audience. That was mostly undergrads, but also their parents. And it was quite a fun experience because their students had just given their own presentations, for many of them, their first experience at a conference. So I had fun trying to make people feel comfortable and at ease by giving a larger talk about the centenary of the First World War.
Your books, again, looks like your book, The Great War and Germany Memory, German
yep.
Memory.
Yep, that's right.
And then An Intimate History of the Front, Masculinity, Sexuality, and Ordinary German Soldiers in the First World War.
That's right. That's my second book, yeah.
Are these out for our perusal? Or
yes, they are. Mm-hmm. That's right. They're on Amazon. They're sold in bookstores, and they're definitely available. My second book, An Intimate History of the Front, is about how the war changed the way men perceived masculinity. You know, when people went to war in the First World War, they saw war as a great adventure, a way to prove just how manly you were. But the experience of trenches and mud and the horrifying brutality of the war, the reality of that, caused a lot of people to change their mind about whether or not war really is ennobling and glorious. That's another thing that the audience in Stuttgart this summer brought up. People compared that to, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon of people joining ISIS to fight in the Middle East right now, and how a lot of people see this as a great experience and chance for adventure and glory and power and for men a way to prove their manhood. The reality is, of course, much different. But it's interesting to see an audience make a link from 100 years ago to the experience now, where people still have these kind of illusions about what war does to human beings.
Well, with classes starting at Grand Valley on the 31st, I know you'll most likely continue your mission of challenging students to consider multiple perspectives on historical events.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of our main experiences. And for my research, you know, my work on psychologically traumatized veterans, it's about looking at how people who are mentally wounded by war, people who are traumatized by war, see these major events. And in our classes, we emphasize how people from vulnerable backgrounds, people who are minorities, how they view events that are sometimes different from those who have power and economic control.
So is your calendar full for more international travel?
Yeah, absolutely. In Washington, D.C., there's a conference coming up. And then I'm actually hosting a conference in 2017 here at Grand Valley State University on gender in the First World War. And I'll be going to Berlin in November 2016.
Are. Yeah. And as classes begin, are you teaching the freshmen through the?
Yeah, in my winter semester, I have a freshman class of European civilization, the intro class. This fall semester, I have courses on the Holocaust, the history of Nazi Germany, and 20th century Europe. And I very much look forward to meeting my students.
Another book in the works?
Yeah, I'm working on a book, or at least articles right now. It'll maybe be a book down the road on religion in the First World War. It's something that's not really been studied, is how the war experience affected people's religious beliefs, either changing their beliefs or reinforcing their beliefs. It's hard to get at, but I've uncovered hundreds of sources by ordinary people, soldiers and their wives and families, and their descriptions of kind of their everyday life and feelings and beliefs about the experience of war and how it affects them.
Hmm. Love your passion. How do we find out more information about your work, Jason?
Right. Well, I'm a European historian, but in Michigan itself, there's some work on the centenary of the First World War. If you Google the Michigan Association for the Commemoration of the First World War, the Michigan Association for the Commemoration of the First World War, you'll see their websites about their different events that are going on. World War I didn't start for the United States until 1917. So it's really a couple more years before we get rolling on exhibitions in the Smithsonian Museums, for example, at various local museums. But they already had the a ceremony marking the sinking of the Lusitania a few months ago. That was the 100th anniversary of that. And so it's getting underway. But if you Google the Michigan Association for the Commemoration of the First World War, you'll find some events listed there.
Great. Keep up your good work, professing, and more. Jason Kraut-Hamel, Associate Professor of History, our class segment. Take care.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Thanks for having me on.